Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Box Trick. I am your host, Matt Brady, known on the internet as Super Gains Bros. Joined today, once again, by Age of Retro, also known as Kyle. How are we doing today, man?
We are great and ready for our third episode here.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's the third one.
I know. It's great. This is sweet, you know? Yeah, I mean, literally, we were messaging back and forth, and we're talking about the games we're picking, and we're gonna do some Sega Dreamcast today, by the way, and very excited, man, because it was just a special system for me. We'll talk a little bit about the launch. We're gonna start with some like pickups, if you got any recent pickups, and maybe talk a little Switch too, and then we'll get into into Dreamcast a little bit. So first, Switch 2. Did you get your pre-order?
I did. I went through the hassle.
Yeah. What was your pre-order experience like?
It was pretty, I ended up doing some research and I went with going through Walmart, and I had some issues going through Best Buy. I got kicked out of my profile because you can only reserve if you had an account with them. Target just completely crashed.
Yeah.
GameStop crashed. And I was in the queue probably 2 minutes before midnight on Walmart, and it came through, and I ended up waiting like probably 15 minutes after midnight. And then it finally, it was my turn, and I was like scrambling. I thought I had everything hooked up like for payment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, where's my wallet? Oh God.
Oh, I know.
I had 10 minutes, you know? So I barely got it through.
So you got yours through
Walmart.
Yeah. Okay. So my original plan was, I was like, you know, Nintendo's going to do their own and they're going to do it later. And then tariffs, we're canceling everything. Who knows? I'm like, okay, I don't know.
Game over, man.
What's happening? Switch 2 is gonna come out? Are they not? I don't know what's going on. So ultimately, I saw that they were coming out. I was like, you know what? I'll stay. Well, for me, it's 9 o'clock, so it's not as late as you, but so I'm on the West Coast here. And I was like, you know, I'll sit down. I was playing a game, had it open, and I was like, I'll just see what happens. So 9 o'clock hits, and I was like, I'm going to try Target, because I feel like, well, one, right now, a lot of people don't like Target. So, you know, I was like, maybe that's where people aren't going, is Target. Right. And so I was like, in the Target thing, in my car, let's go, here we go. And then it's like error constantly. So I was like, all right, well, I'll go try. Then I tried one, then I went to Walmart, because I figured Best Buy and GameStop would be, I had Best Buy open, but it wasn't pulling up. So then I go to GameStop, same thing, couldn't do anything. So I went to Reddit, saw on the Switch 2 subreddit that they were like, hey, Best Buy's just went live. And it was somebody who like posted it. So I went to Best Buy, had like, literally I was in the queue for like a minute, and then they were like sending people text messages to confirm that you were a real account, so to stop bots. Right. And so then, yeah, same thing, just like Walmart, you have 10 minutes. So then it's like got my old address in Ohio on it, because I haven't used Best Buy so long. I'm like, well, I don't want to ship to my dad, you know, like, so then it's like, you can pick it up in the store. I'm like, I don't want to do that. It's not that far, but it's just like, yeah, I just don't want to drive over there. So I was able to like switch my address and everything and get it shipped. So it's all good.
That 10 minutes, a lot of pressure.
It was a timer. Yeah.
It's a fast 10 minutes.
And I was like, I don't want it to like click out and think, you know, like, yeah, like I don't, I'm not in there or anything. So ultimately ended up getting it. Yeah. Did you get the bundle, or did you go with the console?
I did the base model and I did Mario Kart and Donkey Kong separately.
Yeah. Physical. Yep. Yeah. I was going to do that, but, I must have clicked, it's like, which one do you want? And it was a quick decision, and I just clicked the the bundle, and I was like, I'm not messing with it. If it works, it works. So, because from what I could see, it seemed like more people were having issues just getting the regular one, which I thought was weird because I thought everyone would be going for it. But I don't know, maybe Nintendo is shipping way more bundles because they assume that's what everyone is going to want. I don't know, but
I think the bundle was a safer bet. Honestly,
yeah, I think so too. I think there's more of those produced.
Yep.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the game key card? I think we talked about this a little bit in just messaging.
I
thought about it a little bit more, and I think I'm more a little okay with it.
I'm fine with it. I probably won't go for those games, frankly. Right. I'm not getting Cyberpunk. I'd rather experience that on PC. I would never play that on Switch.
Yeah.
That was the same for The Witcher, like The Witcher 3. Like, it's great, it's on Switch, but I'm not going to enjoy it on Switch. You know what I mean? I'd rather enjoy that on the PC. Those third-party games, I don't know if I'd play them on Switch 2. And if they were doing that with the first-party stuff, I'd probably freak out, you know?
Yeah.
If they weren't doing the physical copies, I'd freak out.
I was thinking about this because I wanted to make a TikTok about it. And the way I've kind of thought about it, and the way I guess I'm sort of just like rationalizing in my head, is we don't even really live in the age anymore of, like, the game is on the disc, right? Like once the PS4 hit, we were putting games in and you're basically just installing it. I mean, you even PC way back in the day, you're doing the same thing. And it's not like it's reading it off the disc like it is on what we're talking about today, Dreamcast or PlayStation. So we've kind of been in this hybrid model anyway, you know?
It's very strange because...
It's cooler. It is cooler than what they were doing before, where you just open your thing and you have like a download code piece of paper.
Yeah, no.
So
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm a Nintendo snob too. On PS4, on PS5, I only do digital. Right. I don't think I even have any physical PS5 games.
I have one physical PS5 game.
No
Final
idea.
Final Fantasy 16. That's it.
And when it comes to Nintendo, I'm like, it just has to be physical. And if that ever were, if they were to ever go exclusively digital, I don't know. I'd feel bad.
Yeah, I feel like we're still heading that way. But they said they wanted to keep it. I like it though. I mean, it is nice because I have, I have it right here. I mean, I just have a little, you know, I keep this, and when I go places, I can take it. I've got all these all these cartridges, all these games right here, you know, and it's great.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sweet. I will say, by the way, just real quick, I did buy The Witcher on Switch. And because at the time, it allowed for cross save, and it was the only way to do it, to play it mobile and then play it on your PC. This is like,
before I didn't know it did that.
This is like before, because I think it came up before Steam Deck. So of course now you can do it on the Steam Deck or whatever, and you can do, you know, cross save. Like, you can't, like, I have a Mac, and then I have a gaming PC as well. So sometimes, if you know, like some games have cross save, I'll play on my Mac or, you know, whatever. Not that there's a lot of games you can play on Mac, but you know, you have that sort of cross save, but you could do that. And it was kind of cool. Diablo 2 was the same way. And so there's not a lot of Switch games that did that, but Witcher 3 is one of them. So at the time, it was kind of a cool way to do it.
Yeah. I didn't even know it had that option. But yeah. I was never curious enough to figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I will say it's actually a pretty crazy port, to be honest. So I'm sure Cyberpunk will be as well, but I don't think I'm going to get Cyberpunk for Switch 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would want to play it on PC and, you know, everything. So, well, cool. All right. What all? So you're just doing Donkey Kong and Mario Kart
for now. Yeah.
At launch.
Obviously Metroid eventually
when it comes out. Yeah.
And I'm definitely not buying that little tutorial game that they're selling.
Oh yeah.
What a mistake that is.
Yeah. That should just be the pack in $10. Yes. That's just so weird.
That's my only gripe with them right now.
Even if that had been in the bundle, like, hey, you get Mario Kart and this, it'd be like, oh, okay, that's cool. But if you just buy the base one, then you have to buy that game separate. But yeah, I just think just weird. Yeah. Yep. Well, cool. All right, man. Have you got any pickups recently or anything?
I've been going hard in the paint on Nintendo 64.
Me too. I just picked up. I have two games ordered because I don't know why. I just, the analog 4K is coming out. And so I was
that's why.
That's why
I'm for me. Like,
oh, right. Yeah.
I don't know. I've been, my mission this past year has been to complete loose games. So mm-hmm. get manuals, get boxes. So I've been looking at a lot of lots on eBay, just selling empty boxes that are legit. So I've been hitting on a few, and I've been completing a lot of games that I just have loose, and I've been filling up my N64. So more recently, I picked up the Turok collection, all four games, and I then realized that I don't have the first Turok game in box, so now I need to find that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the local game store by me, SideQuest Games, which is great. Yeah, they have a lot of N64 stuff, and I actually want cart only. I don't want any N64 boxes because I don't. Yeah, there's cardboard. I just don't like it. And I've seen people who do the repro thing where they like get the plastic clamshell. I think that's kind of cool. But I'm actually going to do something pretty different. That's probably going to break a lot of people's hearts. Is I have found on Etsy this person that makes colored shells for N64 cartridges, like blue, yellow, green, and they're transparent. And I actually want to like buy all the games I want. I have a list of like 164 games because my N64 collection is really small. And I want to like put them in all those like transparent different carts and things. And if I have to reprint, you know, reprint the sticker and the whole deal, because I just think it looks cool. And it's just how I want probably, my N64 collection.
Probably going to look rad.
Yeah. I want my N64 to look like 6. So I just, I picked up Shadows of the Empire for 64.
Amazing.
Yeah, 64. Yeah, and so I only have about seven games from my N64 collection because I'm kind of rebuilding it. But and then I went on eBay and I bought the WCW and NWO Revenge.
Perfect.
Yeah, and both were pretty cheap, like $10 and stuff like that. But eBay, man, I have started looking and there's a lot of definitely fake N64 games.
Yeah, definitely, I open up everything.
Definitely fake. Like every time I see on eBay, like I'm like, that game's supposed to be in a blue cartridge. So you know it's fake immediately.
Yeah, I open everything.
Yeah.
I definitely inspect the board, make sure the right chipset's there. And you have to be careful if you're looking for legit. So,
yeah. So what would you pick up? What games?
Like I said, Turok. And then just like Extreme G was one that I didn't have in box. Outside of Nintendo 64, I started to play Lunar, the remaster.
Yeah, how's that?
Fantastic. Beautiful. Yeah. And then Oblivion came out and I was like, I'm done with this game.
Yep. I've been playing it as well. It's fantastic.
I've been completely focused on the remaster.
It's so
amazing.
Good. It's they did. It is a monster though. I mean, it is eating my 4090 alive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of amazed, honestly, that they were able to keep it under wraps for so long. Obviously it leaked. Mm-hmm. But the visuals on that game, the lighting,
so good.
Almost feels like a remake.
I know it feels like a completely different game, and it hides so many of like if you go back and play the original Oblivion with the graphics and everything, you're like, oh man, you see some of the animations like the sword swings and stuff like that. It just feels so archaic. Yeah. Which is crazy because Oblivion is one of the first games I played on 360, and I was like, this is like insane.
That was a huge game.
I remember like this is like it like blew my mind, which is another game we're going to talk about here in a minute. When we get to Dreamcast. But yeah, I mean, it's if I were to list like the top five games that sort of like was like, oh my god, we're in the next generation of gaming, Oblivion would definitely be one of them. But yeah, the remake, man, it feels so modern just with the new graphics.
It makes Morrowind look like they made it out of construction paper.
Yeah.
And it makes me want them to apply this treatment to Skyrim. I will take another version of Skyrim.
Absolutely.
If they make it look this good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've seen the mods and stuff like that, and I've played like a very heavily modded version of Skyrim and stuff like that, and it makes it feel amazing. But for a long time, I've always wondered, like, I've always thought, like, I don't know, you always go back and forth. Is Oblivion actually a better game than Skyrim? Because, you know, they just do things so differently in the way they treat the character builds and everything. You know, magic is very different in both games like that. In Skyrim, you can build like an absolute beast of a character, but Oblivion, you can build like a god, you know, just because like acrobatics and stealth, like everything can be totally, and there's so many game break, like things that are absurd in there. Like you can just take off your shoes and, you know, wear heavy armor and still have like 100 sneak. Yeah, so all that stuff's still there. It's awesome.
I think one of the cool things about this game is that there's like a dedicated evil and there's not too much of the faction stuff going on. Like, there's definitely a civil war going on in Skyrim. But you don't get distracted by that. The story, I think, is a lot better in Oblivion. There's a lot more options and like things for you to do throughout Skyrim. But overall, I think the story is a lot better.
There are way more character build paths in Oblivion, just because you can max out like totally different skill sets of things. Whereas Skyrim, it gets way more narrow. So yeah, it's one of the things. Just replaying this remaster, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a relief.
Okay, well, the meat and potatoes of our episode today is something we talked a little bit about last time, being like, hey man, we should totally do this, and we're gonna do Sega Dreamcast. Same thing, same format as always. Each got three games we're gonna talk about here, but I thought we'd talk a little bit about the launch of the Dreamcast. And what was that like for you?
Do you remember the date?
9/9/99.
That's right, you were there day one. I was there day one. I didn't get one myself. I live vicariously through my best friend Joe, and he had his pre-ordered at an electronic boutique. And I remember going with him to pick it up. And man, I think the launch games was one of the ones that I'm going to talk about in a bit, so I won't mention it. And I forget, was Sonic Adventure day one?
Oh yeah, Sonic Adventure, I think, came pack in for a lot of people.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It was delightful. I remember spending half the day trying to connect it to the internet. Didn't work. Because we're going to go online with all this stuff and play people online. No. Definitely didn't happen. But
well, I remember people saying the internet for, I never did the internet for it, but people said like the internet price was like insane.
Oh yeah, you know? It's like $50 a month.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was like crazy. Which at 99 is like insane prices. You know. Yeah. And I remember I played so much of the demo disc. It was like one of the first demo discs that came with it. And you know, I had a lot of the big games on it. I had had the Sonic Adventure, Power Stone, Ready to Rumble was on there. And I think maybe like a racing game, like an F1 game or something. I can't remember exactly what else was on that. I think I'm pretty sure that I know there was a soccer game on there as well. But yeah, it was just so cool. And I remember then there's some other demo disc games out, and one of them I think had Choo Choo Rocket. And I think it had the full game.
Oh wow!
In there,
that's a deep cut right there.
Yeah, Choo Choo Rocket. Yeah, that's a deep cut.
Do you remember how amazing Ready to Rumble looked?
Oh, it looks so good. I did end up getting it. My Dreamcast collection growing up was very small. In fact, actually, most of the games we're going to talk about here, I had. So we will talk about them. But some of the games we aren't going to talk about today, like Grandia 2, that was.
Oh, that's the best. It's best on Dreamcast, I think.
Oh, it's such a fantastic RPG and everything. So, So let's dive in, and I'll toss it to you first.
Okay. I have visual. I'm going to start with NFL 2K. That I think was one of the launch titles, if I recall that, it NBA was. 2K, and just dropping bombs on people, just sitting back all streaks, dropping bombs, and you're basically it was a very competitive game, and it's not a fun game to play against the computer because it's so dumb, but man, a very competitive, fun game. And you got to think of like the 99 season of football.
It was a Viking
season, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't a very good Patriots team. We had Drew Bledsoe at the time. So Tom Brady came a year later. So just think about like the time frame. It was a very different league back then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I did have NFL 2K, and I played so much of it. And I actually did like a TikTok about it a few years ago, which is actually still one of my best performing things on YouTube. And stuff like that. I get comments on it all the time. And I just had, I was like, I'm going to get some gameplay footage of this. So I just loaded up Randall Cunningham to Randy Moss, just all streaks, bombing it left and right. And there are still animations in this game there are still better animations in NFL 2K, back on the Dreamcast, that are better than what's in Madden today. And especially a lot of them are like catching. I mean, there's literally like Randy Moss one hand animations and things like that. And I think because it uses, you know, the Dreamcast used that arcade style chip, and a lot of these look like a lot of the arcade games at the time. It's such a beautiful game. Like even today, like I play it a lot every now and then on ReDream, the Dreamcast emulator, where you can upscale it to 4K and everything. And it still looks absolutely just fantastic and amazing. It is just such a cool game.
It's beautiful. Also, this started my appreciation for 2K series in general. Like I always thought that 2K was better than anything else coming out.
Oh, for sure.
And I, to this day, NBA 2K is better. It's the best basketball game series you can play. Even when they ended up converting to, was it NCAA? They had to, because they lost the rights to the NFL. That was still a better game, I think, than Madden.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I mean, NFL 2K5, right, which is still considered by many to be the best football game ever made, right? Mm-hmm. The sheer amount of hours I have in NFL 2K5 is utterly just insane. And it was only $20, right? Like that's where this whole thing started. And it was Sega. It's just so crazy because, you know, ultimately ended up Take-Two ended up getting the 2K franchise and turning it on, but there's still so much in today. Like I think you can still see that are embedded in like the Sega roots, right? So it's originally Sega Sports. And it's just so crazy to think that the 2K franchise became so big that it's like that itself could have like saved Sega from
it really could have
a lot of, it really could have. Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. I still will pick it up and play every now and then.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool features with it too, you know, like the VMU, which was such a cool part of the Dreamcast. You could see your plays. So you should know screen looking, right? Like, oh, you don't want to see what plays the other person's picking. You could do that. It was so cool. And a lot of games had cool VMU functionality. And one of the things, well, 2K itself is not a extremely robust game, right? Like you just get a season mode.
Very simple.
You can create a player. There is some cool stuff with the create a player in NFL 2K in that there are hidden attribute points. If you know, it's kind of weird. So it's one of those ones where you get a set amount of points that you can put into people. and the only one I ever figured out was wide receiver. So you'd have to like lower the speed a bunch, and then like when you go to raise it back up, you would actually like earn a few extra points and things like that. So like it was the only one I knew how to do like 99 level wide receivers on. So I'd like always create a team and just have like 400, you know, like level wide receivers.
Just
like
all streaks.
Oh, it was absolutely insane. And then they also had something kind of cool. You can go and you can look at the team info on this game, and they have little bios of the players. Yeah. And it'll be like, Steve Young enjoys like fishing or something like that. And it's, yeah, they give little
bios. No idea.
Yeah. It's so cool. They have little bios of the players. Yeah. And then what are the announcers? It's Peter O'Keefe. I forget the one guy's name, but Peter O'Keefe is one of the guys. And I always love the announcers because it's the same people from there to 2K5. And it just felt so different than Madden. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was great to not hear John for another series in general.
Oh yeah. Well, then you get Chris Collinsworth and it's infinitely worse.
Yep. Did you have the unwritten rule of not looking at the screen, selecting plays when you're playing with a friend?
Yeah, pretty much. Although I didn't really have a lot of people play. My brother never wanted to play because he didn't like football games. Like Dan Stevens.
Oh yeah.
And they had all these they had all these great lines, you know. He's talking about
the duck.
Yeah, something about he looks like a drunk duck, a drunk duck with a poor sense of direction. So ridiculous. It was just so fun to have this totally different experience. And I think it's one of the reasons why people still go back and play NFL 2K like 5. I think most people go back and play 2K5 rather than 2K1. But yeah, I mean, it's another thing too, and we'll talk about this with one of the some of the other games we're going to talk about today, is like going from, I personally have always felt that the generational leap from, what is it, 6th to 7th or 5th to 6th, whatever the generations are, from like that N64 PS1 generation to the Dreamcast PS2 thing, especially, and I always feel it more with the Dreamcast because the other systems came out like a year later and things like that. But man, the like if you look at the games that are on PS1 and the games that are on like Dreamcast, like the same game, it's like, oh my God, this, it felt such like such a big leap to me. Like I, to me, that felt like a bigger leap than like 2D to 3D, even though, you know, it's a totally different thing.
I think that's another reason why I appreciate the Dreamcast so much, is because they took the risk of being the first ones out the gate. And that 128-bit, you definitely notice a huge difference, like you say, between 60, like you, it doesn't even compare to 64. I can't even think of like a 64 like game that would match up on the Dreamcast. They don't even look close.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at games like Hydro Thunder is a game that's on all three systems. It's the night and day, like totally different experiences. I mean, if you look at Madden at the time compared to NFL 2K, I mean, it's like unreal.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, I'm going to talk and I'm going to start with Sonic Adventure. So I've always appreciated Sonic Adventure 1 more than Sonic Adventure 2. Even though I know 2 has become the way bigger thing. Story-wise, it's definitely better. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, the Sonic 3 movie, which is based on the Sonic 2 game, absolutely loved. You get Shadow and everything. But I've always liked Adventure 1 more because you have like the hub world. And at the time, that just felt like such a big deal, right? To me, because it was just like, oh my God, it's like, it's not open world, but it felt like it at the time. And you were just it was literally like people being like, oh my God, have you played Sonic Adventure? You're like a little kid. And it's like, you can like run around the world. Like what? Yeah, it was like such a big, like, it's like Zelda where you can like run around to different things. It was so cool.
It's open world with massive loading screens in between.
For sure.
It is pretty seamless, I think. In transitioning to levels.
Yeah.
I do love that game. I do like, I love it more than the second one too. It's probably like second or third favorite Sonic game in general.
Yeah.
But I have a very special place in my heart. I remember staying, like I was so close to the end in that game and I just kept pushing myself like 4 a.m. I think it was one of the first times I actually like stayed up till like 5 a.m. to complete. Because I was so close to the end and I just kept going.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it all comes down to and of course, once you beat Sonic Adventure 2, it kind of doesn't matter. But I always liked that I could just pick a character and play their story. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Sonic Adventure 2, it's like, man, I don't want to play these Tails levels. Or I don't want to play these Knuckles levels. I want to play the Sonic levels. And I felt like you had to get all through these other things. Whereas in Sonic Adventure 1, you just pick your character, then you just play all those levels. Mm-hmm. So like that alone for me. And I will say, actually, the general consensus online is that the Dreamcast version is actually better than the GameCube version, which unfortunately is the one they've turned into all the PC ports and everything like that. Like there's like some bugs, some hit detection. They changed the way some of the character models look and they have this sort of like weird shine to them and stuff like that. Yep. That doesn't exist on the Dreamcast version. But I will tell you that I think, and it's actually, I think Emerald Coast is the best Sonic level, period. I think it's the best level one, the best everything. And I love it. And actually, so a lot of launch Sonic Adventures had errors where they didn't even work. So I got it launch and it didn't work. It did not work with my Dreamcast. And it was like just a, I don't know, it was a printing error or something, but a lot of launch games pack in Sonic Adventures, like had errors and they didn't work. They didn't load at all. And so I'm like, this is like a brand new thing. Didn't work. So I had to play it on the demo disc until I ended up going to the store and getting like a regular copy of it.
Did you like exchange it or?
Yeah. And then that one didn't work.
Oh.
it was insane. So there was like an error with a lot of Sonic Adventure games. And then they reprinted it like immediately and fixed it. But a lot of launch Sonic Adventures like didn't work. So, but just playing the demo and then obviously getting the game. And man, I just like. The first level is incredibly easy, of course, right? I mean, it's basically...
You're just hitting forward.
Yeah. And it's the first time you're playing Sonic in 3D. And it's like, because, I mean, of course, if you played the Sonic, what is it, Jam or something like that on the
Saturn,
there's like the little world or Sonic R. But yeah, that's not the same thing. So Sonic really, I mean, this like really felt like Sonic was going from 2D to 3D. Like you're playing Sonic 3 and Knuckles and now you get to go to Sonic 3D. And it's not like Super Mario 64 where it's like kind of blocky. I mean, this looks good.
Right.
And it was just like the sun, you know, like the sunshine where you can see the little rings and the whale. The whale is just cool because it's like you're running and then the whale destroys the bridge. And it just felt like this was like,
oh, you were playing a cutscene.
Yeah. And it just felt like, oh my God, this is where video games is at. And this is where video games is going. And like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very cool, I feel like Uncharted picked up on a lot of that, like sequencing that they did in Sonic.
Yeah.
The music I think is
so good.
So special in that game. The dialogue is horrendous.
Yeah.
It's not a perfect, it doesn't matter. Some of the dialogue in that game is just unbearable, but I still appreciate it because it's, you know, it's a little bit of cheese that I like. But yeah, the music is just well done. And some of those levels are just absolutely gorgeous. Maybe not towards the end of the game because it gets very like Robotnik-y.
Yeah.
But yeah, those early jungle, like the jungle stage, gorgeous.
Yeah, and it introduced the Chao Garden, which is cool. Now the Chao Garden is way better in Sonic Adventure 2. Like that's not a, you know, the Chao Garden in Sonic Adventure 2 is like the whole reason to even play that game. I mean, it's so much better. There's so much more to do, but it did introduce it and it was kind of cool. And it gave you a reason to go back and explore a lot of the stages and things like that. But you know, flying up to the egg carrier and you're in the tornado excuse me. Just such a cool experience. The game just felt grand, right?
It did just you have the little Tamagotchi on did you do that?
Yeah, it was cool. And that was such a cool, unique idea. Of course, now you can just like play the Switch and you can just take your entire console with you. But at the time, the VMU was so cool because it was like, oh, hey, you can play these little mini games and like power while you're at school and power up your characters and do things to take with you.
Because it had a D-pad on it, right?
It had a D-pad A, B button.
And then you could, I think, feed it. I forget what you could do.
I can't remember exactly, but it was such cool. So yeah, I freaking love Sonic Adventure. I play it all the time. I still to this day play it all the time. I'm emulators and whatever, but yeah, it's still such a good game.
It is. I it's cool that you added that because I was going to add it to my list. So.
Oh, we were going to talk about it one way or another.
I was like,
either he's picking it or I'm picking it. It doesn't matter. But yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think we exchange a few good games.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Okay. I will toss it back to you.
Seaman, which I thought was going to be the most revolutionary game of our time. And I remembered hyping this up with my cousin. And I'm like, dude, this game's going to change everything. We're going to talk to our games. It's almost like an AI.
It was like, hey, you Pikachu, but way better.
Yeah.
And way
weirder. It was not. It's by far one of, besides Plumbers Don't Wear Ties, it's probably one of the most awkward games I've ever played. It does have its cool moments, but it is strange. It has Leonard Nimoy. What?
Yeah, I know, but like I have played it and I've seen the fish and you feed it and it's got the face, but like how does the game end? Did you beat it? Like what? I still to this day have no idea what happens.
I couldn't do the day to day because there's like you had to play at least twice a day to maintain the tank and stuff, and I just couldn't do it. So you go into the system settings, you change the time of day, and
Animal Crossing. Yeah.
Yeah. You know the turnip game, right? The turnip market. I would just change the time. I'd probably jump every 6 hours or 12 hours. I forget what I did. Just to maintain it.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Talk to it for a little bit, and I probably, over the course of a week or two, I beat the game. And, man, very strange.
What happens? Does he, doesn't he evolve into like a fish with legs and then he, or something?
He does. Yeah. He eventually evolves. You'll start seeing him grow legs, and then a lot of people's experience, he ends up like dying prematurely. And I forget what you have to do to help him evolve, but eventually he evolves into like a frog and you help him escape and he breaks down the, like the back of the fish tank kind of, and there's like a world back there and he goes into it and he gives the impression that he's lived like a thousand lifetimes. And yeah. I felt like I had to, because I talked so much crap about I hyped it up.
You need to stream this on TikTok because I think no one is streaming it on TikTok, true. Right? Like true. People will be like, what is this game? Because I will say when it comes to Dreamcast stuff, I think it does well on TikTok for streaming just because of the nature of TikTok streaming is totally different than like Twitch where you have to like search for it, but you're just like scrolling and you're like, what is this? And like I did Typing of the Dead, which isn't one of the games I'm gonna talk about, but I did Typing of the Dead once and I was like, what you're like typing, you know, like, and you're like killing these zombies. And I was like, yeah, dude, it's awesome. Cause like kids now, they have no clue. Right. I mean, right. You know, these kids grew up with like the PS4 now, which is like crazy. You know, that are like scrolling on TikTok and stuff. It's like, this is all totally foreign to them.
Yeah. I thought it was revolutionary because of the mic attachment with the controller and, some of the dialogue, some of the conversations you have with him are just, He like tries to get to know you and he remembers like key details of your life. Like he'll remember your birthday. And one of the more awkward conversations that we had, he was like, oh, so do you have a girlfriend? I was like, no, I don't. And he's like, so do you have a boyfriend? I was like, no, I don't. He's like, okay, what's your boyfriend's name? I'm like, no, yeah. I don't have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And for the rest of the game, he just assumed I had a boyfriend. A week would go by and you'd be like, so where do you and your boyfriend like to go watch movies? I'm like, dude, stop saying I have a boyfriend. I don't have a boyfriend. So yeah, C-Man it was just a very unique kind of game. I don't know if I'd recommend people to play it. Definitely check out like footage. Yeah. It is a strange game.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah. I have never played Hey You Pikachu, but that's the only other game that comes to mind. That's like a game that involves like a microphone. And I would have to imagine that it works way better on Dreamcast than it does N64.
Yeah, it did. I honestly, one of the things that you can marvel at in this game is how much dialogue they actually thought of that you could have conversations about. Like it's very dense and there's a lot of variations and different discussions that you could get into. It's quite remarkable at the time. Like I'm impressed by that alone.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to move on to my next game. I'm going to kind of cheat here and do two, just because I think they're both excellent games. And I think it really just kind of comes down to which you're going to do. And that is going to be Power Stone. I'll do Power Stone 1 and 2. Personally, I prefer the second game a little bit more. I think that they're both great, but I think the first game, like the stages are a little bit smaller. So I feel like it's much better for like a one-on-one fighting game than it is a four person fighting game. Whereas the second one is way better for four people and open it up. And at the time I was like, this is like 3D Super Smash Brothers. This is awesome. Right. Cause you get all the different items and it's this big fighting game by Capcom. Such a cool experience. And it is coming back. Thankfully.
Is it?
It's part of the Capcom Fighting Collection. Yeah. Unfortunately, it is the arcade version only. So what we'll be missing out on a lot of the stuff that makes the second game cool, which is like the adventure mode and the item shop. And so that was one of the cool things about the Dreamcast version. Was like the item shop and stuff like that, and that you could unlock characters that like they're all just unlocked. So if you still want to play it and it's a definitive version, you got to go back to the Dreamcast. There is a PSP collection, you could get that, but it doesn't look as good as the Dreamcast version. So I recommend, and it's also like stupid expensive now to try and find.
Really?
Because it was rare, and you know, it's on the PSP and it's both games. And I mean, it's still an excellent way to play it. Like if that's your only way to play it, that's great. But definitive version, still the Dreamcast. The four controller ports, just like the N64. Yeah. This is one of those games that made such a good use of it. Such unique characters, right? Like Axel, Gunrock, Wang Tang, who's basically Goku. That's who like we all used because we were all into Dragon Ball Z on Toonami. Then we'd go play Power Stone. We all wanted to be Wang Tang so we could basically be Goku. And, you know, he has like the spirit bomb essentially and throw it down. And Falcon, he turns into the guy with the missiles and you can shoot him at everybody. Such a cool, unique fighting game, 3D arena fighter. There actually was a Power Stone anime, by the way. And I think it only lasted like one season. But it does exist, and I think it follows a little bit closer I think to the first game than it is the second game. But you know, the stage is all destructed and moved and stuff like that, which was also different than Smash Brothers. I mean, Smash Brothers, some of the stages had like hazards and stuff in the original one, but it's not like later where the entire stage gets destroyed like it is at Power Stone, where you go to completely different areas and everything. I mean, now Smash Brothers has that, but right. Yeah. So did you play Power Stone?
I dabbled. I own it now. I own both now. And I just remember it is, you're right, dead on. It's just like Smash in a way, right? But if you made the confines a lot smaller and if you tilted the camera a bit,
because
I do remember just crazy camera just going all over the place.
Yeah.
And there was just mayhem. Like the game is just mayhem. Like once there's a match going on and once the items start becoming available, like it's just chaos.
Yeah.
Which is very similar to, you know, Smash.
Yeah. Yeah. And then some of the stages have, especially in Power Stone 2. In Power Stone 1, the stages don't really change. But there's like cool hazards and things like that. Also in Power Stone 1, the stages are like more unique to the characters, right? Like Falcon's like from England, and so you get a fight in like London in like this like little square, and you know, and then there's like you're inside of like a paper mill or something, or a log mill or something like that. And there's all like a lot of the stages were very sort of unique, felt like unique to the characters, where in Power Stone 2, they're just very generic stages. I think the ones a lot of people, most people play, is one where you're on the airship and then halfway through you're falling, right? You're falling and you gotta like go get an umbrella because an umbrella will save you. So a lot of this, even throughout the combat, there's a lot of like almost mini games that get broken up. And there's one where you're inside of like a mummy's tomb and then like you gotta race and there's like a big boulder rolling behind people and stuff like that. And then you get to the final area where you can just fight each other again. So like that was also something I thought that was kind of cool and added, like you said, to the complete just mayhem of the game.
Yeah, chaos. Yeah. You watched the Switch 2 Direct, right?
Yes.
So when they showed the multiplayer aspect and you can connect your friends using the C button and you could see them at the bottom of your screen, it almost reminds me of Power Stone.
Yeah.
And if they were to port that game and make a modern version of it, or even just rehash the old ones, that C button capability with the multiplayer would actually work perfectly for that game.
Yeah.
That's a perfect game to play with your friends.
Yeah. Smash Brothers is going to be it when it comes out. I mean, we don't know. They've said that I would imagine that the Power Stone collection that's coming out in like 2 weeks or whatever will work on the Switch 2. And you, I guess you could, or it's not a Power Stone collection. It's the Capcom Fighting Collection. And it's actually almost all Dreamcast fighters. It's like Rival Schools, Power Stone, I think Capcom
Star Gladiator. SNK.
Yeah. Star Gladiator, a bunch of those Capcom fighting games. Cause they already did the Marvel vs. Capcom collection. Yep. Which is fantastic, by the way, and which are also on the Dreamcast. But yeah, such a cool way to do that. So yeah, maybe you could do that too. By the way, I am not planning on getting the camera for the Switch 2.
I don't either. I'm barely getting the Pro controller, but I've heard just great things about it. So yeah. I
did not get the Switch 1 Pro controller, and so I think I will get the Switch. I would probably get the Switch 2.
Nice.
I actually bought an adapter. It's like a Mayflash, I think it's the company. It's too far away. And it'll let you use like a lot of other controllers. Like you can use an Xbox controller or something like that on your Switch. And actually one of the ones it connects to is the Wii U. And that's to this day like my favorite controller. It's the Wii U Pro controller. Because it has an 80-hour battery life.
Oh my God.
It's insane.
That's insane. That's insane. That defies logic.
It's so ridiculous. I think I've charged it like 3 times ever. You know, I mean, it's just crazy.
I haven't investigated, but I did hear a rumor I have to dig more on it, but I believe that you can connect any camera to the Switch 2 and it will work.
I think that's probably why it has the USB-C, and I would have to imagine that. I know Hori is already, who, you know, makes a lot of third-party stuff, is making, I think they've already shown off theirs, and it's going to be one that attaches directly to your Switch, and it's like a Piranha Plant.
Mm-hmm. So I've seen that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just saw it in passing. I haven't like really dove into it, but yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, hey, I will toss it back to you.
Okay. We are coming up on May the 4th. Mm-hmm. If I don't see you, if I don't talk to you, May the 4th be with you.
Mm-hmm.
But episode 1, Pod Racer, it was on a lot of systems. I think at least Nintendo 64.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it was the best on the Dreamcast. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, the best on the Dreamcast, I think. I don't know if that's a hot take, but I always liked it better on the Dreamcast. Oh, yeah. This game's cool on the 64, and I actually think it works well with the controller, but the progression in this game is really cool. The level designs, and they're incredible, especially when you get to the harder portions of the game.
It is very fast and very dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah.
You could. I remember customization of your pod, improving it along the way. You get like points or skill points or something. I should have probably played it before I jumped in, but I think there were like skill points that you could do to increase the pod.
Mm-hmm.
They had all the characters from the movie, like the ones that were in the race in episode 1. And it's just a very unique racer. I get fatigued pretty quickly in a lot of racing games, but this one, I remember just grinding through the whole thing.
I have actually been playing it a lot more recently. They have done like some remastered versions of it, and for whatever reason, they often choose the N64 version, and sort of like, I think they did like an up, it's like this weird kind of in between of the N64, but the Dreamcast version to me is also the definitive version. Mm-hmm. Of it. Unless you are cool enough to own the actual arcade where you got that is pretty sick.
If you can own that is the definitive version.
Yeah, that is definitely the definitive version. So first of all, I don't know. Maybe it's just the generation I grew up in, whatever. I don't care if people don't think it's the best movie to this day. And I'm a diehard Star Wars guy. Episode 1 is my favorite Star Wars movie. It's the one I sit down. It's the one I sit down and watch. It's the one I go to. And I grew up on the freaking Darth Vader box set 4, 5, and 6, you know, the special edition, watched them a million times, you know, but man, I just episode 1, Qui-Gon Jinn. Duel of Fates, Darth Maul, and I like the pod racing. I don't care. I freaking love it.
Hey man, if do Star Wars however you want to do Star Wars, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's everyone. I think that's the cool thing about Star Wars is that everyone has their own generation. Yeah. They have their own favorite movie.
Yeah, I make a lot of Star Wars content with my buddy Ez. You know, we do Star Wars podcasting and stuff like that too, and yeah, I mean, I bashed the sequels a lot, but I have no problem with people who find the sequels to be their favorite movies.
Yeah, it's probably going to be kids that grew up on it.
Absolutely, because right now you're seeing a renaissance of people who like the prequels.
Yeah, do you remember how much hate those movies got when they first came out?
All the diehard original people, the prequels suck, dude. Jar Jar is like the worst ever. Now everyone's like, Revenge of the Sith is the best Star Wars movie. I don't agree with that, but Yeah,
I'm a diehard. I do love Empire is my favorite.
Yeah,
and I do think that now this is not about Dreamcast anymore.
We're talking Star Wars, so it's it all works.
Dave Filoni and the Clone Wars and the Rebels, I think, has definitely improved.
Yeah,
my outlook on the original prequels.
Agreed.
Is absolutely improved those movies to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for a lot of people too. Real hot take. I like Rebels more.
Really? I do love it. I love Rebels.
Because, and I've talked about this a lot. I think it's just the original characters, and it worked. You know what I mean? Like you know, Kanan Jarrus and Ezra Bridger and all that stuff. I don't know. I just liked it. I mean, I like Clone Wars too a lot.
Yeah.
But Clone Wars for me was all stuff that I just never felt like I needed filled in. Mm-hmm. So it was always cool. And it the only thing is, like, it's different now when, like, if a character like Ahsoka shows up. Okay, well, we know Ahsoka isn't in the sequels. So at any moment, Ahsoka could die, right?
Right.
You have that. But in the Clone Wars cartoon, like, you never, like, I know Anakin's not going to die. I know Mace Windu isn't. But in Rebels, oh man, they're all expendable, right? Sure. So that was always, like, I think that always added to the weight of it for me.
Plus I don't know if this is a critique on the prequel trilogy, but it's basically Obi-Wan and Anakin's story, where the 4, 5, and 6 are like the team dynamic, right?
Yeah.
It's like, here's the team, and this is what they're going through, and they really captured that with Rebels.
Yeah.
Rebels is like, it's the team. Mm-hmm. It's not so much an individual character. It's about the team dynamic, and I think that was the most interesting thing about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Hey, well, you know what? Hey, there is a lot of good Star Wars games on the Dreamcast, by the way.
There is.
You've got Jedi Power Battles, which I don't care. I love Jedi Power Battles. I will say there's some pretty differences between the PS1 version and the Dreamcast version. I do think I tend to like the PS1 version a little bit more, even though it runs at a higher resolution, runs at 60 FPS on the Dreamcast. There is something about that, like, PS1 graphics with, like, the fog and stuff kind of adds some atmosphere that the Dreamcast version kind of pulls away.
Yep.
There is also Star Wars Demolition.
Yep.
Which is, like, their Twisted Metal. And that might be, I don't know if there's any other, are there any other Star Wars games?
I think they have Episode 1, the story game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On there. That's on there as well, I think.
Yeah. That might be it. But, hey.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, but all of them are good on the Dreamcast.
It's enough.
Yeah.
It's enough Star Wars for one console, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But episode one Pod Racer, I have played an absolute ton of it. Have you ever played the sequel?
No, actually.
Racer Revenge. It's on PS2, and I think it's been and I think now it's like whoever Aspyr is the one who does all the re-releases of games. I think it's been ported to because I played it on PS4. So I know it has at least come out of other stuff. It's definitely a lot, like, cleaner than episode 1 Pod Racer. Like, episode 1 Pod Racer definitely feels the weight of, you know, like, some of the, like, it's just like the visuals aren't particularly, like, amazing, you know, and stuff like that. It's a lot more, like, cleaner and defined. You can tell they probably had a lot more time to work on it since it has nothing to do with any story. And it's kind of weird because you play as, like, episode 2 Anakin in pod racing, but you can unlock episode 1. But it's still just as good. If you like it, I mean I think if you like episode 1 Pod Racer, you would definitely like the episode.
I need to check it out.
You would like Racer Revenge.
Do you think, is that on the 64 as well?
Episode 1 Pod Racer is, but Racer Revenge is, I think, is only on PS2.
Interesting. I'll check it out.
Yeah, because Clone Wars got the prequels got a ton of Star Wars games.
They did.
Yeah, Battlefront, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Episode 3,
Revenge of the Sith.
So good.
Yeah, that game's unreal.
Oh, yeah. You get like a fighting thing. So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, last game we're going to talk about today, to me, is I've definitely made a lot of shorts about it and stuff like that. It's one of my favorite games of all time. I think it's a game that's just so special. This was the game for the Dreamcast that, like, I mean, Sonic Adventure was like an eye opener for me. And this was the game that caused me to be like, just utterly insane. And this is in the era where it's not like the internet was there and stuff like that, but not like everybody had it. We're still on dial up. And all you heard was stuff in magazines and stuff like that. This game is like real life, is how this was described. And that is Shenmue. Now, of course, you know, this is one of those games. I think a lot of people either really loved it or just basically hated the game. Hated it, didn't like it. I would say the game's faults, if I had to pick one big fault for the game, it's like the translation. And the voice acting can be not particularly great at time, but everything else in this game I absolutely just adore and love. It is like a kung fu, you know, karate adventure, I think. Yeah. is the is the is
it's
the way
it's a movie
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is huge cutscenes and everything. Ryo Hazuki, his dad is killed by the mysterious Land D, and you have to figure out what is going on. You're presented with this cold open. This kid's running up, and then he gets into his house, and there's this guy from China, and he's got this him and his dad get into a fight, and he kicks him, and he kills him, and he stole this mirror, and what is going on? And then you have to go explore it, and you get this little town, right, of Yokosaka, and you have to just go, you know, in Deboita, and you have to go explore this whole thing. You can get a job and drive forklifts. You can go to the arcade. You can go to convenience stores, and you can go outside and play the little spinny toy thing. You can learn karate moves, capsules. Oh, it's just fantastic. It had dynamic weather where one day it's snowing and the next day it's not. It was like a real thing. It's like Christmas time. Such a just unique experience. And the thing I've always loved about Shenmue is that a lot of games today have big, huge, expansive open worlds. But a lot of those games, you can't really do a lot, right? Like, right. Even, I love Breath of the Wild to death. I love Red Dead Redemption. I love all of those games. But like in Breath of the Wild, you just run around and you climb mountains and stuff, but it's not like you can go interact with people. Whereas Shenmue is a much smaller, it's a street. It feels lived in. It feels real. It feels like an actual community. It was like characters will be here from this time to this time, and then they go home because it's night.
Right.
Right. And you can solve all of your little quests multiple ways. Well, hey, I'm going to go talk to this guy because I think he has it. And that may get you to your thing. There was multiple paths, and you would go around and talk to multiple people at multiple different stores. Like, oh, I need to learn about the three blades, right? Which is like barbers, tailors, and cooks. Well, I can go to this store. I can go to this store. It was such just a unique experience at the time that I think people who played it, that's why we're still all so nostalgic for it today.
Yeah. I think it's different than Seaman.
Yeah.
In the fact that where I thought Seaman would change gaming, Shenmue did. I think Shenmue actually had quite an impact on how people tell stories in games. And it is a gorgeous game. I almost find at times it's a therapeutic kind of game where you could just get lost in the town, like you mentioned, trying to collect all of the capsules of all the little figurines. Even reliving some Sega classics in the arcade was amazing. There's a lot of diversity in the game, just how much you can actually do in the game. It was way ahead of its time, and I think a lot of people kind of piggyback off of what they set out to do with that game.
Yeah, I replayed it over the holidays on PlayStation 5, and because I wanted to get the platinum trophy. I wanted to do everything, beat everything, did it. It's a pretty easy thing to do. And you have to get all the toy capsules, and then you have to get a job, learn all the moves, and sit there and practice and everything. And it was also a game that of course, it didn't live up to a lot of its promises, but it was one of those games that said, hey, if you like, your save file will transfer to the next game, which I think in Japan it did, because Shenmue 2 did come out in Japan on the Dreamcast. And then Microsoft stepped in once Sega kind of said, hey, we're out of the console race. And Shenmue 2 came out on the Xbox, which I did play. And then Shenmue 3, we all know, came out during the PS4, big E3. Not a particularly good game. They tried a Shenmue anime, and that actually was pretty good. Like, that was like during, I think it was during COVID, and I think it was just like money things. And so they said, yeah, we're not going to pick it back up. So we still don't know what's going to happen to the franchise. I think he should just write a novel. I think going forward, that would be his, Yu Suzuki, who, you know, legendary video game creator, Afterburner, Outrun, Space Harrier, you know, all those big Sega classic games and stuff like that, which is why he's so respected in the community. And this series did kind of go on to inspire the Yakuza. Like, this is like, if you're a fan of the Yakuza series, which is huge, by the way, they need to just give it to them. Sega just needs to give it to them and say, remake it. It's what should happen. But I think Yu Suzuki should just write a book.
I think a book would be great. I think a remake would be better.
Yeah. Well, I think a remake would be great too. But I think for him to get the story like out, I feel like what I would do, and this is kind of a weird way to do it, is I would try to give it to like some big like fantasy author, this seems weird. I would go to, I would be like, hey, Brandon Sanderson, here's a bunch of money. Go write this story. And because, you know, anytime a book blows up, then it's like, okay, now people are interested in doing a movie or doing whatever, because it could work in a ton of mediums. Mm-hmm. I've often thought the same thing for like Legend of Dragoon, which is, you know, on PS1. I'm a big fan of that. But I was like, that would be a great way, I think, for like to kind of like really get people to back into it, because then you'd get this like whole other crowd, and then it opens the doors for a lot of things. But I've often thought the same thing for Shenmue, because we're probably never going to know what happens.
No.
Is that like, I just don't think he's ever going to be able to finish it.
No. Which is, I think, a travesty for a story like that.
Yeah.
But I think 3 kind of crushed all hopes of anything potential moving forward.
Yeah. Cause it's just not particularly, it's rough.
Yeah. It is rough.
Yeah, I think the most likely case for it to have any success in the future would be because they tried the anime and that just didn't work. And I thought that would be it. I was like, oh, this would work well as an anime. But it's just like then like COVID hit. I think it was just like studios like, hey, we're crunching your number, you know, money. This they had to can it, regardless of how well it did. Because I think it actually did like okay.
What about a movie? They've had success with Sonic. I mean, why not make an actual movie?
I don't know. I think the best chance would be for them to say to give it to the Yakuza team, because those crush it. I mean, those sell like, and even though it won't be the same Shenmue experience, because obviously, like if you go play, especially like Yakuza 1 and stuff like that, like it feels very much like Shenmue, and it's going to. But I would say give it to the Yakuza team, call it Yakuza Origins Shenmue. And I think that would be the best route. It would be different, but it would be the best way for the franchise to move forward.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. But yeah, Shenmue, such a unique game. QTE, it introduced the first time. I mean, I'm sure it kind of existed in other stuff too, like Dragon's Lair and stuff like that. But I think this was the game that really brought that into like the main series, like the little QTE events. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the quick time events, being able to walk around his house and like open the fridge and open the drawers and go explore things. There was like all these cutscenes that were optional. You could have all this different dialogue. Such a cool game,
out of its time, unfortunately.
Yeah,
left in the past.
You know, that's really it for us today, though. We hammered out our Dreamcast games real quick. I mean, we don't have to dive into it because we can always come back and do another one. But I mean, just some honorable mentions for your Dreamcast.
I'm glad we talked about Shenmue. For Dreamcast, Dead or Alive.
Mm-hmm. Still one of the most amazing looking games.
Gorgeous game.
Yeah.
Lots of fun. You could pick up and play today. Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
Another just amazing fighting game.
Code Veronica for me.
There's Resident Evil 2 on there, Resident Evil 3 on there. People just Code don't Veronica. Know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, there's Code Veronica.
Dino Crisis is on there.
Dino Crisis. Yeah, I mean, it's just there's a lot of interesting games on the Dreamcast that you could pick up and play today.
Yeah. Yeah, tons. Sonic Shuffle. It's like Mario. They tried to make their own to Mario Party. Was not particularly that good. But Hydro Thunder for me is a big one. I played a lot.
Marvel versus Capcom.
Marvel vs. Capcom, Street Fighter 3. Hydro Thunder was a big one for me. There's a ton of great racing games.
Sega Rally 2,
Metropolis Street Racer, which I think is what went on to become. What did that turn into? Did that turn into Forza? Or did that turn into... What did Metropolis Street Racer turn into? It basically turned into something else.
Matt, have you ever heard of a game called Crazy Taxi?
Oh! Yeah, our...
It was going to be one of my picks as well.
What's his name play that on stream? God, what's the governor of Minnesota who's running for president? What's his name? Waltz!
Oh, yeah.
Remember he was gonna play AOC in Madden, and then they played him a little bit. And I think he smoked her, and then he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna play Crazy Taxi." And he said that he like played it so much that he had to. His like wife was like, "You got to stop." Yeah, Metropolis Street Racer. And Project Gotham is what it.
Project Gotham.
Yeah, it turned into Project Gotham Racing. Yeah. That's what it was. But yeah, so many. The Gundam game, great. Mm-hmm. Gundam Side Story, absolutely. Fighting Force is on there. Headhunter, there's tons.
MDK.
MDK, yeah. Whatever happened with that? What happened to the MDK franchise? Why didn't that ever blow up?
The second game killed it.
Really?
It was so hyped. That was one of the most hyped games ever. And then you play it and you're done with it in like 6 hours. It was so quick.
I will say pretty much any game that exists on PS1 and 64 and Dreamcast is the Dreamcast version is almost always the definitive version. Yep. The definitive version to get.
That's why I prefer to play Tony Hawk on there.
Yeah, there was they also released Tony Hawk 2 for the Xbox. It was like a very small release. I think it's called Tony Hawk X2, and I don't think Spider-Man's in it. I can't remember it 100%, but yeah, it's like this like one off kind of rare way to play that game. But yeah, Tony Hawk 2 is on there. I think is Tony Hawk 1 on the Dreamcast as well?
I think it is. Yeah, yeah, 1 and 2 are on there.
1 and 2, yeah. Obviously, NFL series, NCAA series is on there. Just a fantastic, fantastic system. Well, cool. Awesome. Hey, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and those are pretty much the three that I focus on. So Age of Retro, check me out. Thanks for having me. I have so much fun doing this, and I love to relive some of the, you know, the great nostalgia that's out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you guys can find me anywhere on the internet at Super Gains Bros. If you guys like the podcast, be sure to hit that subscribe button, give us a review or like on iTunes. That is or anywhere where you listen to your podcast. And as always, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.